I'm going to share some stories from the past. I said, God, you're going to have to show me where to start, because I could start in about five different places. But I want to talk this morning about fresh oil. Fresh oil. Last week when I talked about the altar of incense, I grew up as a little Catholic girl, and there's so many things that we learned the symbol of something, but we never really experienced it. See, and then the priest would walk up and down the aisles, and he'd swing this big gold thing, and smoke would come out of it, and ooh, it was the incense. We could smell it, but, you know, nobody knew that was symbolizing the prayers of the saints. And when I talked about it, I mentioned another article of furniture in that tabernacle called the lampstand. And the lampstand, that's not what we're going to talk about this morning, though, was an article of furniture in the tabernacle where the oil had to be continually flowing through it, continually flowing through it, continually. And see, some of us come to the Holy Spirit once, and we get a little dab, like a little dab will do you, and then we move on, but we need fresh oil. See, we need fresh oil. Do you know that if you don't put fresh oil in a car every so often, it can cause the parts to get sluggish, and over time, they'll malfunction just because the oil isn't right. The thickness of the oil, well, really it's not thickness, but it's sort of the rate at which it flows and the resistance. But for us lay people that are not mechanics, Gabe, okay, we will just call it, we will just say thickness is what they call sort of another word for viscosity. If you ever see that word viscosity, I have this app that gives me a new vocabulary word every morning. Maybe today, this is your vocabulary word, viscosity. V-I-S-C-O-S-I-T-Y. It means sort of the thickness, the rate of resistance, and the flow of the oil. And so you need certain viscosities in certain cars, and it eliminates friction. Now, years ago, in the days that we had Generation Jesus going everywhere, you'll hear us allude to that. Cammy and Angie and Kirk, and then Chris came in a little bit later. Alan was with us then. It was in the 90s. We had this wild ministry. We had a 3.5-year revival among young people. And thousands, literally thousands, of young people came through our ministry and came to the Lord. We had a space that was 1/10 of the size of the space we have now. So we couldn't do it in our building. We had to go in parking lots. And Easy invented, and got draftsmen and architects to draw up this wild trailer. Now I've seen that you can actually rent them, but Easy was always ahead of his time. So 30-something years ago, he invented this mobile soundstage that you could pull with a big Suburban, and when you got there, you could unfold it into a 16x16 stage with lights and speakers and underwiring, and our band could go up there, and we could lead worship with a generator providing the power out in a parking lot, and we had 800 people in parking lots. We took it to the beach, and we had people gather around. We took it everywhere. Then we couldn't fit them all in the parking lots. We did stadium events. And so these young people that were 18, 19, 20 were doing the ministry. We would train them to minister, and they'd be the ones on the stage, not me and Easy. And so they could minister, but they just didn't know a whole lot about normal, everyday, practical life. And we got phone calls at all hours for about the craziest stuff. One time we got a phone call. Well, he won't take out the garbage, and there's four of us in this apartment, and we're sick of it. And so the garbage was piling up. Kirk was one of the roommates there. And I had to go over their apartment and yell at them all about who was going to take out the garbage. One time we were going to have a meeting at their house, and I told them, dust. And they go, what do you mean? And I go, dust, anything that has dust on it. What would have dust on it? I go, every horizontal surface. This was new to them. One time they bought chicken breast at Sam's, and they wanted just one or two, and so they took the whole package out, defrosted it, took the two out they wanted to cook, put it back in the freezer. Then they took that package out, defrosted the whole package, cooked the two they wanted, put it back in the freezer. They did this several times, and when they got sick, nobody knew why, but we knew why. One call, we'd get calls regularly, and Easy grew up on a farm. Easy was working full-time when he was 6 years old. He pushed a mule around a hay bale, or whatever that means, or drove a mule around a hay bale. Really, I don't know what that means, but if you grew up on a farm, you might. He was picking cotton full-time when he was 9 years old. He helped support his mother when he was in college, and he worked his whole life really hard. And so when we had young men who would call And they would go, Easy, we're out at U of H. You know, they were taking like part-time classes. And my car won't start. He goes, have you checked the oil? And they go, where is it? He couldn't understand that, okay? He couldn't understand a 19-year-old boy that didn't know where the oil was. And so he would have to drive over there and help them. And sure enough, they'd run out of oil. And they just let their car run dry. And so it screwed up their engine, and you know. And so, like, this was a regular part of our life. But yet on a stage, thousands of young people ended up coming to the Lord. So God could use any old donkey to do his purposes. Now, one night we got a call, and it was about, I thought it was like the middle of the night, but it was probably 9 or 9:30. I checked with Kirk to get my facts straight this morning. And we got a call, and it was Kirk. And everybody knew that we kept a little bit of cash at our house in case there would be an emergency. And so we kept a little bit of cash in the closet, and Kirk goes, could I borrow $385? And I go, what for? And he said, I want to buy a car. And I go, you're going to do what? And he said, I'm going to buy a car. I go, a car for $385 at 9 o'clock at night? What does a car look like? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I go, wait, but how are you going to buy a car you haven't seen? Well, there's an ad in the Green Sheet. Now, mind you, we didn't have internet. There was no looking online. There was no checking the VIN number or Carfax. No such thing. Did we even have, they had pagers, people. There were no cell phones. So Kirk needs to borrow $385 to buy a car that he's never seen. And Easy and I talk, and we think it's the stupidest thing we've ever heard in our life, but we don't want Kirk to feel like we don't love him. And so I'm trying to ask him questions to talk him out of this, but none of my questions deterred him, none. I go, but you haven't seen it. Can we just wait till tomorrow, till the daylight, and let Easy go with you and look at the car? No, they're leaving the country first thing in the morning. Like, wow, this sounds like SCAM. But he was insistent he needed a car, and if he could just get $385 from us, Barbara, he would have transportation. And we're like, whatever, come on over. Lent him $385. He got the car the next day, and as he told me this morning, it lasted for 9 months. And so he felt like he got a good deal. It's like renting a car, $40 a month, $40 a month, he had transportation. So this was normal back in the day. But you knew where the oil was, didn't you? You knew where a few people knew where their oil was, and even how to change it, And so the truth is, after we're walking with the Lord for a while, that fresh oil that we first had when we first got saved and we first got filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes a little bit of it can evaporate. Do you know that oil can actually evaporate, number one, when exposed to high temperatures? A lot of heat in your life, a lot of hard stuff going on. Number two, heavy engine loads. Whew, a lot of burdens. Heavy engine oil can evaporate. Number three, older vehicles, I'm not old. Older vehicles normally lose a half a quart every 1,000 to 1,500 miles. Yeah. I need a newer vehicle. I have a 19-year-old car, y'all. And so older oil looks different. It has a different feel. Sometimes it has a different color. And so over time, we can revert back to some of our old habits. And where we were all cheerful and joyful, we can start getting cranky again. We can start maybe getting legalistic, or we can go in another ditch and start to compromise. And sometimes we need an oil change. See, we just need a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost, a fresh filling. And you know what I like about the Holy Ghost? We get free refills whenever we need it, Chris's brother, Izzy, we used to go eat in the late 90s. We all go out to eat together, and everybody was low on money. Everybody was 19, 20, 21. You know, they had these part-time jobs. They were low on money. And so, like, how much food they got for their money was very important. And so Izzy would always have a question of the waiter. And so the waiter would come around to get the order, and Izzy would go, I have a question. We all knew what it was. Do you get free refills on the drinks? Because he didn't want to spend his 95 cents or $1.10. That's how much drinks were back in the day. He didn't want to spend that if he could only have one. Do you get free refills? Well, I'm telling you today, the Holy Ghost, you get free refills. And so fresh fellowship with the Holy Spirit can produce fresh oil. Fresh fellowship with the Holy Spirit produces fresh oil. A fresh anointing restores joy. A fresh touch from the Holy Spirit brings peace. The oil of the Holy Spirit is a healing balm, and that's whether it's for your body or your soul or your spirit. In Bible times, skins were used as containers for liquids. We are containers. See, we're vessels. We're containers for the Lord. He fills us. He expects us to pour out to those around us that have need of what's inside us, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. But over a period of time, skins can dry up and get hard and get brittle. And this can happen to you. There's an old dried up skin. See, we're going to have one of those facelift before and afters, like before and after, okay? And so this can happen to you. You can be not as flexible as you used to be. Easy used to say used to be all the time, and I said, quit saying used to be. It makes you sound old. Now my favorite phrase is used to be. But see, when they got hard and dry and inflexible, what would happen is that they would get the wineskin, and they would dip it in water, the washing of the water of the word, and then they would rub it with oil. And if they dip it in water and rub it with oil, dip it in water, rub it with oil, that would soften and restore the wineskin so they could actually be used again. Let's put up the nice one. So they could become soft and pliable again. Because, see, if you put wine in one of those hard, brittle wineskins, they would gas out, and the gases would cause it to explode and crack and break. So it had to be soft and flexible and able to expand, actually. So if they were not processed in this way, they became useless because of their hardness and lack of flexibility. Sometimes we get hard, and we lose our flexibility. Now, old, crusty wineskins couldn't be filled with new wine, so they were dipped, and this whole process was done. This washed off resistance, washes off unbelief in our life, washes away double-mindedness. But fresh oil was the key. The word anointed, you'll hear us say anointed all the time. It's spelled with one N, by the way. I was a spelling bee champ. One N, anointed. Churches put two N's with anointed. I'm going, no, one N. The word anointing, actually, the word anointed means set apart. The word anointing actually means to rub. And it has a connotation of to smear with oil. To smear with oil. Now, our GJ leaders back in the day took the Bible literally in every form of the word, but that was good because whatever it said, they went and did it. And we saw signs and wonders and miracles and healings and salvations and deliverances in Randall's, the grocery store. Like wherever they went, they were a carrier of the Spirit of God. But when they saw that you're supposed to anoint people with oil to get them healed, they were serious and they didn't want to run out. And I mean, a staple in everybody's car was a quart of oil. A quart of oil. You go, anybody have any oil? They wouldn't bring in one of these. They'd run out and get you a quart bottle of oil. And I'm like, whoa. And I go, why does everybody have a quart of oil in their car? And they go, we don't want to run out. I'm like, okay. But see, we need to feel that way about ourselves. We don't want to run out. We don't want to run out. We don't want to run dry. So if you're dry and crusty, you need to be smeared with oil. You need maybe an oil change. We have to get our oil changed every so often, right? Maybe we need an oil change. And so there's progressive anointings for different seasons in your life. In 1 Samuel 16:13, this is New King James, speaking of David, the Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Wow. But see, that wasn't the last anointing. It wasn't over. In 2 Samuel 2:4, it says, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David, king over the house of Judah. But there's more. 2 Samuel 5:3, so all the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron. And King David made a league with them before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. There's successive anointings for different seasons in your life. The Bible talks about this oil, and we'll talk more in a minute, but it's a holy oil. It's a costly oil. It's a pure oil. It is not to be poured on flesh. It's a spiritual thing. In the Old Testament, yes, it was on their flesh, but that was symbolic, remember? And with us, it's experiential. So with us, it's poured. It's to be poured in us. It's to spring up a well out of us, okay? And the anointing is for that. So for many, many years, before we even started this church, I would minister at women's meetings and conferences, and I would usually quote a certain scripture right before ministry time, right after I taught on emotional healing or healing of the heart or some of the subjects, binding up the brokenhearted, that I majored on. And I would quote out of Luke 4:18. Did I give you that, Dan? Luke 4:18, one of my favorite scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. People are walking around bruised everywhere. Jesus took on himself the things to pay for all that we need. But see, now we are his vessels. And so we can reach out and lend a hand to set the captive free. We can help heal the bruisings that are on people in their life just from walking through this earth. But I would say before a meeting, Jesus, that's what I want. Jesus, I need your anointing because I need to be able to pour out to these women. In myself, there's nothing. But Lord, when I get there, I got to be able to pour out what you have for them. And I would ask him for his compassion. Show me how to love like you, like Paul's saying this morning. Jesus, anoint me to do what you just said in that scripture. And there were times when the anointing would be really strong, and there were times when it was not as much as I felt it needed to be. And so I feel like, what's happening? It's waning. What's going on here? And so if it's waning, don't just stand there and ask questions and wonder why you're dry and brittle and inflexible and not as useful. Ask God to anoint you afresh and anew. See, ask him for what he says he'll give you. Free refills. Free refills. Ask God to smear you with oil. See, we quote these things, but it's very true. God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. God is not looking for perfect vessels, just willing vessels. See, this is all true. It's just true. Some of these little one-liners, it's just true. Now, there's hindrances to operating in an anointing, and I'm not going to major on these today, but you could be in unbelief. God, I don't know if you do this anymore. God, I don't know if you can use me. God, I don't know if this, you know. Quit getting in your head. Let God just work through your hands. Stubbornness. We reject the way God wants to do it. One time, Cammie said, I really want God to deliver me, but I don't want to do it in front of anybody, and I don't want anybody else to know, and I don't want... And she had such a list. I'm like, whoa. Anything else we want to require? Like, but see, we all do that. The difference is she'll say it out loud to me. I love that, but some of you just got in your head. Rebellion, serving God but the way we want to do it. Obedience is usually not comfortable to the flesh. Willful sin, any area that is opposite of the written word. Some influencers will say, recently read through the whole Bible and had an encounter with God, but yet they're still living in their sinful, immoral, forbidden by the Bible lifestyle. And I'm like, whoa, these two don't go together. Something's wrong here. See, you cannot say, and this person went on to say, I don't believe everything in the Bible, but I just know that God loves me. Well, yeah, God loves you, but you can't say that you're living for him if you don't want to do everything in the Bible. So willful sin or even a broken heart. You can be hurt. You can be disappointed. You can have suffered mistreatment or been taken advantage of. And you don't want to risk loving or trusting again. So you don't want to put yourself out there. You know, after Easy and I got robbed of our life savings by someone that we dearly loved who perpetrated a scheme, a fraud, for several years. And we had our money in it. And we found out when Easy was in his 80s, it's hard to start over then, that all that money was gone. It was a Ponzi scheme. A prophetic word came to us just a few months after, not that, oh, I'm going to restore all your money or on it. It was, don't let this change you. See, don't let hurtful things change you. Don't let mistreatment change you. Don't let disappointment change you. Don't let loss change you. Don't. Because then you will lose the most important thing. I know that probably by saying this, I'll show just how old I am. Has anybody heard of Brill Cream? Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you for your support. All right, everybody over like a certain age. Brill Cream. It was this pomade, this like hair cream that people would slick on their hair and it'd make it real shiny. But they had this advertising motto and it was called, a little dab will do ya. Dear Barbara, help me. A little dab will do ya. Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. But see, with the Holy Spirit, I don't want just a little dab. I want layers. I want successive anointings. I want viscosity, okay? I want viscosity, thickness. So the depth of the anointing is directly related to the development in your life, not just about the gifts, but also about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He wants character and charisma. The anointing should be deep in you, not shallow. See, one thing you could be anointed with is not just power, but wisdom and understanding. There's an anointing for wisdom and understanding. And so if you're smeared with something, it soaks into you. It becomes part of you. It fills your pores. We didn't used to know this. We used to think we could just smear any kind of thing on our face and we would go, well, it's just on my skin. But see, then now scientists have told us, and everybody that's young has told me, no, it gets in you. And I'm like, no, I'm just putting it on my skin. You can wash it off. They go, no, but it goes in through your pores. It actually gets in your body. We didn't used to know this. We could put anything on ourselves and we were fine. But now that everybody knows it, we got to be careful. But it is what it is. So, but if you absorb something into your skin, it should work in you internally. And so for the anointing, see, God didn't just use any old oil. He didn't just have them just use motor oil. You know, they didn't have motors. Okay. But he had special ingredients that comprise the oil in the Old Testament that we see they used to anoint with. And so there are things that we have to develop and apply in our life. I'm looking to see if I'm going to tell you this story. One time we had a guest speaker who I love dearly, Gary Wood. And Gary Wood was Easy's and my pastor in the late 70s. And Gary Wood was powerful. And the day that Gary came, we had many healings, and he was wonderful. But Gary told a story about how he was at one meeting, and he just poured a whole bottle of oil on somebody. And once I heard that story, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so I told Alan, I go, Alan, get all the oil out of this church. I said, because I don't want our chairs ruined. I don't want our carpet ruined. I go, here, I'm going to Container Store. I'm getting these tiny little things. So even if Gary pours the whole bottle, I go, it won't be much. And we'll be able to stop it if we get like a paper towel or a Kleenex up there. And then Cammie goes, but wait, you can get the kind that rolls on. It won't even spill. I go, sounds good to me. Cammie, buy some. And so this was our oil, okay? You could go to the Christian bookstore. We had bookstores back in the day. And we'd actually drive there, look at books, and buy them. There were 3 or 4 bookstores within 5 miles of this church. Now everything's online. I get it. But in the Old Testament, there were some ingredients that were blended together to form the anointing oil. Let's go to Exodus 30. Did I give you that one, Dan? Exodus 30, 22 through 25. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, see that word myrrh, half as much, so that means 250 shekels, of sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, he was very specific, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin, this was a measurement, of olive oil. He told him how to do it. God gives instructions. Some of us can't follow instructions, but we need to learn how. So we have the pure myrrh, that first word, M-Y-R-R-H. When we look at these, we're going to look at them for a minute, actually what they're picturing are the very characteristics that God wants us to have in our life. And so myrrh is a resin. It's very gummy. It oozed from a tiny shrub. It was bitter to the taste, but it produced a wonderful fragrance. Tasted bitter, but produced a beautiful fragrance. Myrrh literally means the word bitter. It was one of the three gifts that the wise men brought. Now, you know there weren't three wise men. We don't know how many wise men. It doesn't say. But it says there were three gifts. Myrrh was one of them, okay? And there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And myrrh symbolizes, some say, the office of the prophet or a life of true discipleship. A disciple follows. A disciple obeys. A disciple might have to sacrifice some. So there's a certain bitterness if you look at it from a fleshly standpoint, but it will produce a beautiful aroma that others can smell. See, it might be a little bit tough on you at times, but oh, others will reap the benefit of it. See, you might have to give up some things, but oh, they're going to be blessed. See, you might have to spend some time in that room with praying on the door, but because of it, every time we went to Manuti Coffee Shop, somebody would get healed. More people got healed at Manuti Coffee Shop sometimes than in a service. So there might be a little bitterness or some sacrifice, but oh, there's some beauty is going to come from it. As a disciple follows the example of Jesus, you become the servant, not the master in your life. So serving sometimes means we take a lowly place. Serving means we might take the back seat. Serving might mean we pick up the towel and wash somebody's feet. Serving might mean it's a little unpleasant, but he who would be great among you must first be what? A servant. So myrrh symbolizes what aspect in our life? The servant's heart. The servant's heart. I read a poster one time. It said, so you're called to ministry, but you won't even help stack the chairs? You know what I mean? Number two, sweet cinnamon, myrrh and cinnamon. Cinnamon came from the bark of a tree. It had a fragrant sweetness. The root meaning of cinnamon is to stand upright, to stand upright. Cinnamon represents integrity, walking in truth. The flower of the cinnamon tree smells offensive, but its bark is sweet. Notice the duality on each of these things. All around you, there might be corruption, perversion, offensive things, but you can still stay pure and holy. In the middle of it. You don't become like them. When the world or other Christians do something wrong to you, do you respond like they do, or do you still stand upright? Will you get mad and stop doing what the anointing was for to begin with, or will you stand upright and be a channel that God can flow through? So cinnamon represents what? A heart of integrity. We're to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, preach the good news, but to do it, we need a heart of integrity. Number three, sweet calamus or cane. There the word was cane. It's also calamus. This was a tall reed. It grew in miry clay, a hostile environment. We have a hostile environment that we're in. It's getting more hostile all the time, even especially for Christians. Probably 11 or 12 years ago, I said, I preached in one of my sermons when we were at the Sweetwater location, there will come a day when if we just quote the Bible, people will call it hate speech. We're there now. We're there now. Hostile. So it grew in a hostile environment, but it literally means a branch or a reed. You must have a living, abiding relationship with Jesus, like the vine is to the branch. The calamus is a rod of strength, and it's actually a channel that oil can flow through. Calamus. We can be placed in difficult situations but still flourish. We can live in an environment that's hostile but still live in true Christianity. What tries to wipe us out can actually cause us to become a warrior. How have I gained strength? Through the hard stuff. Have I learned to not give up? Through the hard stuff. Easy lived a life of many difficulties coming his way, but then he writes the book, Never Give Up. And he knows how not to never give up. So much so that when cancer came, he tells the woman, you ever seen a miracle? You're getting ready to. What caused that kind of faith? What caused that kind of strength? What caused that kind of warrior spirit? the stuff that tried to wipe him out. Don't be afraid of what tries to wipe you out. Lean on the Lord. Let his strength come, and you will come out with no smell of smoke upon you. So an upright heart is the third thing. An upright heart, a heart of integrity, and a servant's heart. Number four, cassia. This is found in the bark of a shrub, and it grows at high altitudes, has a little purple flower. The root of the word means bowed down, as in bowing before the Lord in worship. Cassia speaks of us worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And if you're dry, worship can refresh you. You can come in on a Sunday morning, and you can have argued on the way here. You can have felt discouraged on the way here. And they start praising, and at first you're like, But pretty soon, that worship gets in you, and you start doing something you didn't plan to do. I'm glad I wore my T-shirt and my flat shoes this morning. I didn't know I was going to jump. I haven't jumped in a long time. I haven't jumped too much since those funerals. Not much. I used to jump regularly. Jumping is not a sign of anything. It's just how you express yourself. But this morning when I jumped, I'm like, wow, I'm sort of out of shape. I'm out of breath from jumping. But but see, you can plan to just be, and God goes, no, we're going to go here. You can plan to just be here, and God goes, no, we're going to go here. See, you've got to let yourself be led by him. Let yourself be led. And so even though there's a bowing down in worship, there's also a jumping up. And so if you are bound, worship can bring you freedom. If you are dry, worship can refresh you. Worship softens the heart to be able to receive what God has for you. Genesis 24:26, 24:48, 1 Samuel 24:8 all speak of bowing down in the presence of the Lord. So the fourth thing is we must have a heart of worship and humble ourselves. We must do worship as a lifestyle. See, you could not be bowing down, but your heart is bowed before the Lord. You could be standing upright, but your heart is more submissive than the person bowing down. And so man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Number five, the olive oil. Last ingredient, a hin of olive oil. This ingredient was used to bind or blend all these other spices together. And so it was a blending of both bitter and sweet things. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like the oil dripping down from the beard of Aaron all the way to the hem of the garment. You know, see, that's probably what Gary would wanted to do. So you'd have the dripping oil, but I'm okay with just like rolling it on you. But see, there's a unity that God is after for us as a body, and this pictures it. He wants hearts set in a body, working with others, submitted to authority, all working together, everyone doing their part. See, there's a beauty to it. It's not a one-dimensional thing. It's multidimensional. God is multifaceted. God can also do more than one thing at a time. Exodus 30:32 says, neither shall you make any other oil like it. God doesn't want copies. He doesn't want imitations. He said, Exodus 30:32. Do we have that one? He said, it shall not be poured on man's flesh. God doesn't anoint your plans or even your desires necessarily. He anoints what he chooses. He anointed us for what he called us to do, not for what we decided we want to do. But if you do what he's called you to do, you will have more fulfillment than if you tried to do what you wanted to do. So God wants the real thing. He says, you shall not make any, in verse 37, for yourselves. It shall be holy unto the Lord. So we use the anointing for God's purposes, not our own. Some people sell in prophetic words or, you know, merchandising their gift. It's just not, that's not God. It's a costly oil. It shall be holy unto you. You pay a price to walk in an anointing. But it's not so high because Jesus is your treasure. And then what does it matter what it costs? So there's five ingredients. Five represents grace, like Paul so beautifully talked about a few weeks ago. Wasn't Dan's sermon good last week? Ooh, you need to listen to it again. I told him he's going to have to preach again. He is. I commanded him to preach it again soon. Because there was so much richness in it, we can't get it all in one hearing. Five ingredients. Five represents grace. Only because of God's grace can we walk in the anointing that is provided to us. But we get free refills. We get free refills. We can layer it, layer upon layer upon layer. I'm going to put you on the spot, Gwen. If you, this morning, I'm going to close up. But if you want a fresh anointing, I'm going to ask Gwen to take the anointing oil. You can do the bottle. You can pour as much on as you want from this little bottle. Or the rolling. Gwen has an anointing to pray for individuals. Many of you in this room, she's ministered something specific to you that was very meaningful. She doesn't want to be in front of everybody and do a big crowd thing. That's not her style. But this morning, individually, if you want to be anointed with fresh oil, I'm just going to ask her to do it. It's because God told me. See, my other favorite scripture is whatever he says to do, do it. And so this morning, stand to your feet with me. If you just need a fresh touch from the Holy Ghost, a fresh anointing in some area, if you feel like you've just gotten crusty and dry just because of time or disappointments or hurts or difficult things in your life, or you feel like my oil is just evaporated and I'm running on dry. See, God doesn't want us running on dry. See, he wants us to know that his Holy Spirit is here for us. We can be filled to overflowing. The Bible says, be filled with all the fullness of God. And so the Holy Spirit, my paraclete, the one who walks alongside me, who together with me walks through life. See, I don't do this alone. You're not by yourself. You are bought with the price, but you're not now on your own. He walks with you. And so, Father, this morning, for every person that needs a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are here liberally smearing us with oil. God, we might just put a little oil on the outside of our flesh, but that's just symbolic of what you're doing on the inside of us. So, Lord, we're going to receive it on the inside. On the inside, God, we're going to be filled afresh and anew. On the inside, we're going to realize what you've done for us. On the inside, God, we're going to receive liberally because, God, you're not stingy with us. And so, Father, we thank you that all who are thirsty, come, be filled in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, you will do according to what we ask, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's just put some music on, Dan. You just pick something. And then if you want Gwen to just anoint you with oil, she's going to anoint you. If God gives her something to say, she'll say it. If not, the oil's enough. The Holy Spirit's enough. But we'll take all he's got. And so, Father, I just thank you for these people in Jesus' name. Amen.